Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Night Court. Rob Fisher, Brevin Knight with you, talking some hoops with you. You can catch us on Twitter. I'm at TheFishNation, Brevin at BrevinKnight22, and the show, Night Court, at NightCourt22 on Twitter. I'm on Threads. I don't know. Are you on the Threads yet, Brevin?
Dina told me that I got to get on Threads, and so, but the problem with getting on Threads is I have to let people know what my Instagram name is.
That's right.
And I was doing a real good job of not having to worry about all of that. So now I'm on the fence of, am I going to do it? But she told me I have to. You know me and this social media thing, bro. I'm really good to just enjoy sitting in my basement watching TV, playing some golf.
That's a good way to put it. Well, last time we talked, it was postseason and kind of wrapped things up. And then we talked a little bit about the draft was coming up. We've had the draft. Free agency has started. Start with the draft. You know my feelings on the draft. I don't know. Grizzlies got this dude, G.G. Jackson. Everybody tells me he's good. And if he came in the draft next year, he'd be a lottery pick. So, all right, cool, man. I hope he's really good. I'll say this. He was one guy, though, that watching at Summer League. This is a whole nother discussion now. I'm jumping all around. Because Summer League, I don't take a lot from unless you look fine. And if you look fine, you look fine. He looked like he belonged out there.
Oh, he definitely looked. He didn't look like the youngest player in the NBA by any stretch of the imagination. He knocked down big shots, played big minutes in fourth quarters at times, and made shots late in the game, especially a couple of corner threes. You saw him play off the dribble. So I think there are a lot of promising things from GG as you move forward. You know, I'm like you with the Summer League. I like to, I more so like to see have our guys from the year before taking strides over what has happened, and more so just have they got a little bit better. And so it was good to see. I know Roddy didn't shoot the ball as well as you would have liked him, but for him it was the finer things, putting the ball on the floor, making plays for others, sort of dribble drives. Defensively, he'll be fine. So LaRavia makes some shots. That's something that, you know, he's going to have to do at the NBA level. Also, you know, he has a bit of swagger with his game, so it's good to see that also during his times. And so this is just that time of the year where I was happy to see GG play Wells, and happy to see our second year guys at least produce in some ways. And so that's for me. I'm like you in Summer League. That's my takeaway.
Yeah, I think Summer League, it's basically, if you're really bad, you can stand out. And not in a good way. But if you're good, good. You should be. You should be good against this competition. And I think the Grizzlies showed that. You know, you mentioned a bunch of the guys. I thought Vince Williams was really good in the one game that he played. I wish I would have been able to see him more games, but he got injured. And, man, still the most intriguing dude during Summer League, and any time he's on the floor, is Kenneth Lofton Jr.
The thing for Jr. is it was, could he still just be as dominant? And he was just as dominant as he was last year playing in the G League. He had the big game at the end of the year, regular season, when the Grizzlies didn't play a bunch of people, and they gave him the opportunity to get the ball, take shots, play minutes. He did a great job with it. The biggest thing for him is just going to be the fit, how they would like to play him next to who they would like to play him. But there is no denying that he has an absolute knack for being able to put the ball in the basket. And so that is something that will forever be a need in a league. And we saw even on the defensive end, did a good job in the drop coverage, which he's going to play a lot of, being able to talk, stop the ball handler, still get back to the big. They switched a couple times with him out there defensively. So I think he did a lot of work on what he needed to, more than anything, was the defensive side.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But still just a fun dude to watch. And, I think there's a spot for him somewhere in the league just because of the way he works and with that offensive skill set that he's got. And, we'll see what happens.
Roberto, we'll know what our big situation looks like.
Yeah.
There may be a huge need for the Grizzlies to have to use them early you know, the Steven Adams situation is still a little bit up in the air. Hopefully it just keeps working, and there's a place, there may be a place in the rotation right here.
Scariest thing Zach Kleiman said at the end of the season was, yeah, and we hope to have Steven back by camp. Hope. What has happened to his knee? That dive out of bounds in Phoenix. Who knew this would? I mean, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, stop all that. Stop that dog on hustling for no reason. That's what we want to know more of. No more hustle for no reason. You do come back nice and healthy, and play as hard as you always played, but meaningful playing hard.
Yeah. So who knows? Who knows what's going on there? But it was interesting free agency prior to the draft, the trade. I am glad that the Grizzlies came out of the draft. They drafted one guy, Gigi Jackson. They drafted another guy that they'll stash. And that was it. You know, with three picks, they come out with one guy. I thought that was good.
Yep.
They trade Tyus Jones to the Washington Wizards. They get Marcus Smart in return from the Boston Celtics. Obviously, we all hate to see Tyus Jones go, but we kind of felt like it may have been inevitable because of how valuable of a trade piece he was. And what the Grizzlies needed to replace, seems like they did a heck of a job getting Marcus Smart.
Well, first I'll address Tyus. The one thing that you always like for guys, you want to be able to allow their career to flourish if you can. And I think what his career was going to be what it was going to be here with the Grizzlies. They had maxed out. He was always going to be Ja Morant's backup. But the team and he also, I think they had some type of conversation or dealing that if the opportunity for him came up to be a starter, then they would try to facilitate that. So I'm happy. Of course, will we miss him? Of course, yes. It was a joy to watch him play, to get to know him and his family. That was fun. And we'll continue to root for him. The good thing is not like he goes away. You still turn on League Pass and see him whenever you want to see him. And so we'll continue to root for him. But when you make that type of move, then you would like to get something of value back, and they got huge value back with Marcus Smart. You couldn't have done much better in terms of fulfilling the needs of this team with one player, and I think that's what he did, and he does in terms of the veteran leadership they needed off the floor, but they needed a veteran leader who could still play. And you're not going to come up with better competitors than Marcus Smart. He's a winner. He plays both ends of the floor. He will hold guys accountable, not only on the floor, but off the floor. And so I think it was a magnificent pickup and one that was at the exact right time for this organization.
Yeah, and hearing him talk, he had an interview with Chris Vernon that was great. And, you know, talked about he cried. He cried when he found out. He was upset that he was leaving. But
yes,
how excited he is about this opportunity. And you know, he's a guy, I think at that point of his career, it's like, all right, you know, this is, even though maybe he didn't want it or expect it at this point, that it's kind of a reset, out to prove people what I can do with this new start. And he seems to be that type of guy.
Yeah, I think you always want to prove people of the player that he is and what he can do. But I don't think that he has to prove anything to anybody.
No.
The biggest thing he has to prove is to the Grizzlies team of what the image that we have seen from afar, what does it look like in person?
Right.
That's all. That is the only thing that he has to concern himself with. Because everyone from us to the people in the organization have nothing but the utmost respect for what we've been able to see from afar. And so it'll just be nice to see it up close and personable, up close in person in our locker room. And the good thing is he went to, if you have to make a change, number one, you want to at least make it to a change to a team that still has an opportunity to win. That's first and foremost.
Sure.
So he comes to a team that can win right now. No building. This is a winning team right now. Secondly, you want to go to a team that fits your skill set. And I think that's exactly what this Grizzlies team, it fits how he plays, the style of play, the type of players. And so I think for him, yes, sad to leave. I would cry too if you've been playing in one place for 9 years, done all the things that you've done. He's so big in their community. And so yeah, it's a touching moment, but you understand the business side, and you just hope that where your next landing spot is a positive one. And I think this spot here in Memphis, you couldn't ask for a better place for him.
And then the Grizzlies go and sign Derrick Rose as well. I don't know if it was our last episode or maybe two episodes ago, I listed off about a handful of guys that could replace Tyus Jones. If Tyus Jones was dealt, Derrick Rose was one of those guys that we talked about.
Yep.
I'm a little surprised. A lot of people are kind of expecting that Derrick Rose isn't going to play, that he's just here as some sort of babysitter. I can't imagine you'd sign a guy for 2 years if that's the case.
No, and the thing with Derrick Rose is he hasn't played a lot of basketball the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
So he not only is hungry to play, but physically fit and ready to play. And so, no, I don't think that this is just a move to say, add a guy just to add him for no true basketball value. There is a lot of basketball value with Derrick Rose. Again, on and off the floor, on the floor, with the 25-game suspension, unfortunately, with John Morant, they're going to need help in the backcourt.
Right.
So he solidifies that help in the backcourt, but then also it puts him in a role, in a position that he's ready to play as the season goes along. And the one thing that Taylor Jenkins would like, you would like to have at your disposal is the ability to play different lineups, but also the ability to have trust in the guys that you put out there running your team.
Right.
And I think he can be very happy with Derrick Rose and Marcus Smart running this basketball club.
It feels at this point that we're done as far as the Grizzlies making moves. What's your concern?
My concern still stays the same, is that if in talking about being a championship contending team, you're still relying very heavily on guys who have not proven themselves yet. And in saying that, doesn't mean that they can't do it. Doesn't mean that they're not skilled enough to do it. It's that they haven't been there and done it yet. And it is a crucial position for this team, meaning with Roddy, LaRavia, Zaire Williams. Between the three of them, that is a big spot for this team moving forward. And so there is, again, it's not a concern of are those guys good enough and do they have the talent to do it. It is a function of they haven't done it yet, and it's such an important position for this team. But I have nothing but the highest expectation that the three of them will be viable options for this team. The three of them are going to be ready to play basketball when the time comes about. The thing is, they're going to have to be ready to play if this team continues to want to be a championship contending team.
Yeah, that's my concern too, because, you know, going into last season, John Conchar had every availability to take the bull by the horns and got the opportunity, and he never did. And even though we saw some moments from David Roddy, he never really took that job. Zaire Williams, you know, never got going last year. So when I look at the roster and I say, all right, sixth man, I guess, is Kennard. Seventh man is, I guess, Rose.
Or Santi.
Or Santi, okay. And then so my eighth guy is Rose, ninth guy. Somebody's got to take that spot. Somebody's got to grab it, and someone's got to – instead of Roddy plays four games and he doesn't play three games and he plays 2 minutes in a game,
right.
You know,
right.
Take that
you
job.
You would like one of them
yes.
to step up so that there can be some type of symmetry to how they play. There could be some type of – you can say – when you start the year, this guy has this role, and we expect it, and he can fulfill it. Instead of what you're saying, whereas, well, we feel like he got a rhythm for this week, so we roll with him. Well, next week, he's off, so then we're going to try him. That will make it hard for any of them to find a rhythm. But one of them is going to have to really step up, and the opportunity is there. We lost. What we did was we replaced Dylan, who is another guy who I think will be a big miss. Very happy for him and his situation in Houston. Hated to see him leave because I felt like he was as much a heart and soul of this team as anything else. And so we replaced him with a heart and soul player, but a smaller player. And so in that, you would like to see one of those other size guys be able to take a step forward.
I think I swallowed a fly.
I was about to say, you need to get the screen put up outside, man, to keep the bugs away from you. Or you need to find a nice little dungeon area like myself where it's always cool and there are no bugs.
Woo! Yeah, that was good. Speaking of Dylan Brooks, I mean, let's be real. 4 years, $90 million, Grizzlies couldn't do it.
Heck no.
I mean, you know, when everybody says the Grizzlies, oh, they're getting rid of a guy, Grizzlies are throwing him out. That was a decision. Grizzly couldn't pay him. And good for Dylan Brooks. My goodness, what a deal he got with Houston.
Oh, I'm ecstatic for him. And it's a good, again, you want to talk about going to a good situation. He goes to a team that at one point was just a bunch of kids running around with no direction. Front office, you really don't know what's happening. Steven Silas, Jr., he is put in such a predicament that he can't win. And then all of a sudden, Dylan gets the opportunity to go there. They got Udoka, who is a budding young coach in the league, did a great job in Boston. They get Fred VanVleet to become now your point guard. And now all of the young guys, there's a pecking order.
Yeah.
Because now you got two vets coming in that know how to play. They add a veteran coach who's going to hold people accountable. And all of a sudden, you fall into a situation where you get to have more responsibility but a chance to also still compete and win on a nightly basis.
How do you think Dylan felt yesterday when the Canadian national team picture was put out there on social media? And it had the starting five, which included Lou Dort. And then underneath it said reserves, and it had Dylan Brooks as one of them.
Wow. I wonder if Lou Dort has a better connection with Canadian basketball than Dylan Brooks, because Lou Dort has definitely taken steps in the right direction as a basketball player. But I still feel like Dylan Brooks should still be able to get the nod over him.
What is Houston now?
No, but I'm telling you, but know what it is for Dylan? It's just fuel for Dylan.
No question.
It's like, I hate that we got to play the doggone guy four times. That's what I hate.
We play him three.
No, they're in our four times.
Yep.
That's what I hate, that we got to play them four times.
I love it. And I love that the first time we play against Houston and all the radio stations that day will be talking about, oh, Dylan, will he get a nice reception? Will he get applause? And everyone I think will say, yeah, he'll get a nice reception. It'll be great, you know, welcome him back and all that stuff. But then that day at shoot around, Dylan will talk about, yeah, I never really liked it here. And then we'll
cook Dylan the villain the other way. I mean, Dylan, we gave that that was a positive name with us, Dylan the villain.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden he'll really be as the other team saw him.
Oh yeah, it'll be great. I can't wait for that. What is Houston though? I mean, how much better are they?
Houston? Let me tell you what Houston is. Houston is a problem.
Really?
That's what they're going to be. Fish, the thing that we always talked about in Houston was, they didn't have a lack of talent. They had a lack of direction.
Sure.
They had no one to point them in the right direction. But when you went down the board of the talent that they possessed, of the guys that they had, and of the size and the matching that they could do, they lost KJ Martin, which will hurt them a little bit on the athletic side in some way. And I don't know everything that happened with their roster. But I think with the additions of those two vets and the young guys that are there, I think they're going to be a problem. Because you know why? Teams are going to be like, oh, well, what do you – it's Houston of old. But then it's going – but I think they can surprise people and be a lot more competitive than we thought. You know what? A la Oklahoma City from last year.
Yeah. Who's gotten better in the West?
Lakers.
Here's what I think about the Lakers. And I hate saying it about the Lakers, but it's true. I mean, they were, after the deadline last year, they were good. I mean, they were
second best team in the league.
Yeah, they were good. And then so their playoff run doesn't seem as crazy as a, you know, 9 seed or 10, whatever the hell they were, whatever seed they were, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. I don't even remember. But whatever seed they were a better team than their seed indicated. And then this year, I think they solidified themselves a little bit better. I was impressed that they actually decided, we're going to take this team and try and make it better instead of going out and let's try and get Kyrie, or
find a one guy.
Let's
yes.
try and get Bradley Beal yes. or Chris Paul or something like that.
Yeah, no, they went for the team aspect of this deal,
which they don't
do
often.
Just go for the player.
Yeah.
No, well, because in that market, marquee names is what sells tickets.
Yeah.
Not just having a bunch of team guys out there. And so, no, credit to them and the moves that they made. I think Denver's going to have to scramble and do something. I thought they lost some major pieces in terms of their role guys.
Yeah.
But I think that they had that taste, so they'll be back there. Houston got better. They're talking about Oklahoma City. Now, listen, again, got a bunch of frail guys running around on the floor, but there is no lack of skill on that basketball team with what they have. I think Dallas has quietly made a lot of good moves around the Kyrie Irving situation.
Yeah.
Like they've been able to get some vet guys in that situation. It's going to be, I can tell you this, there will be fewer bad teams in the West this coming season than last year.
Yeah. What about the Clippers if they get Harden? Do we believe in them at all? Or?
Let me tell you why it's hard to believe in the Clippers, just to be honest with you. Who the hell knows who's going to play, when,
right.
how many games.
Right.
And to be honest with you, to think that you can just pull it all together in the playoffs and win doesn't work. I have the utmost respect and Ty Lue and what he can do as a coach, but you are asking a miracle for guys that never really play together all year, and not just the star guys play together, but even the role guys with how do I still play with him? Like that is something you have to get accustomed to, and so because of that, I don't know where they're always the question mark team. They're a team you're like, damn, they got a lot, but the lot don't play all the time.
Right. I kind of feel the same way about Phoenix. They got a lot up top, but not much after. Go Yuta.
Phoenix, let me tell you as much. Phoenix better find him a point guard. If you think that the Devin Booker thing can be a point guard and because what you saw him do in the playoffs, there is no way in hell he can do that for 82 games and then do it in the playoffs. So they got the what's the number 15 kid that's from Memphis, the lefty.
Campaign.
I always forget his name. Yeah, hopefully he can solidify things for them at that position. I don't know if
they're talking about trading him now, apparently. According to all these reports, that they're going to trade him because they want to get somebody better. But okay, who?
They need to just find, at this point, you just need to find someone that can run the team. Like there's someone that can make sure that Devin Booker gets the shots he gets. Chris, right. Kevin Durant gets the shots he gets. That Bradley Beal get the issue I think with that I had with Phoenix was who in the heck's going to play defense?
Right.
Like you. They didn't put a bunch of scores on the floor. And what will Ayton's mindset be? Like, will he be an aggressive center? Will he be a passive center? Will he be in a lineup? Well, I know they changed coaches now, so maybe there'll be a better relationship between he and the head coach. And so does he play to the level of what his skill set is? Then if he does that, then it makes them a very formidable team. But I think that the other teams in the West are such good teams with enough good individual players that they'll push their individual talent team.
Well, you mentioned Ayton and the mindset, and to me it's just a matter of can that mindset be consistent, because it doesn't
right.
seem like he has that mindset night in and night out. He might have it one night and be great, and then just not have it the next. Booker, I heard an interesting conversation about Devin Booker, comparing Devin Booker to Carmelo Anthony, and that he's a great scorer, but he couldn't be a number one.
That's why they got Kevin Durant, right?
Yeah. Right?
Well,
which is weird because for years they've been trying to build around Booker, and now it's a new owner who's crazy about his money and doesn't care, wants to just get the best, and he went out and got Kevin Durant. I don't think it was a mindset of, well, I think Devin Booker. No, he just went and wanted to get Kevin Durant. But might work out best for Devin Booker, because I thought that was an interesting comparison, though.
Yeah, well, I think it is very telling that would be the comparison, because both of them you see as highly skilled offensive guys, but always say, like, how does that then wear off on the next person? Like, how does that make the next person better? How does that? And I think for Devin Booker, when Carmelo was playing, that'll always be the question. Is not only can you get your team, but can you make the other guys, empower the other guys around you to be good enough to allow you to put yourself in a position to win games? I think that's what the greats do. That's what Jordan did. That's what LeBron James does. It's their greatness in and of itself. We see it, but they still enough make the other guys around them play to above themselves, or at least play to their level so that they can aid them in being better. And there's different ways of getting it out of people.
The other big news in the NBA, there's an in-season tournament now to be played. What's your thought on the in-season tournament?
I have no thoughts because I don't know what the fuck it is. Oh, excuse my language. I don't know what the hell it is. So everyone that asks me that, what do you think? I don't know. They don't change the game. The game will be the same. The time will be the same. It's just going to be a Tuesday. So because it's Tuesday, it's an in-tournament game, in-season tournament game. Well, it's Friday now in November, so it's an in-season tournament game. I don't know. Are you going to coach differently? Are you going to do more like a playoff? Are there going to be more like playoff games where that's the way you coach and that's what the atmosphere is going to be? Or is it going to be an early season game that you are still trying to fine-tune some things, figure it out? Or are people going to coach differently? So that, to me, that's the biggest thing. On Monday night, do you coach one way? And on Tuesday night, in those 2 months, do you coach a different way because it's the in-season tournament?
And what happens in the semifinal game and the championship game that don't matter to your standings in the regular season?
So you put people in jeopardy of maybe being hurt
for a game that doesn't matter. Reason.
Right. So that's why I said I don't listen. At the end of the day, I always tell you, this is no longer the sport of basketball. This is what?
Entertainment.
The business of basketball says you can bring in more revenue by having this in-season tournament. So guess what we have? In-season tournament.
Yeah, I.
What do you think about it?
I don't know. I think as American sports fans, you know, I know this is a soccer thing. Sports fans, we just don't get it. We don't understand games that don't matter. The only thing that matters are games that matter. And if it doesn't matter, what are we playing for? And in the middle of a season, having a tournament, someone's going to be champion. Are we lifting the trophy? Are we putting up a banner? I mean, are we excited?
Well, you just got to go to Vegas for those four teams. And turn around, you got to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
For 4 days or whatever to play these two games. I'm guessing you would play. I don't know if it's going to be. I don't know if you're going to play. The winners will play the championship, and the other two will play a consolation.
Yeah.
And then you move so that you move. I don't know how that's going to go. And I didn't. Know what I've gotten to this point, Roberto? I've gotten to the point where I am no longer that grumpy old man with, why are you doing this to the game? Know what? It's not our game anymore. That's what I realized. It's like, it's not our game. Like, it is now their game.
Yeah.
And this is the way that the game is going. So you can gripe about it and say, well, try to understand it. But when the play-in came in, everybody was in a tizzy. I thought the play-in was good because it was going to force people to be competitive for a longer part of the year. The play-in has worked out well.
Yeah.
This one, I don't know how it helps competitive edge at all. Like, I thought the end season, right. I thought that the play-in created competitive fire for people. A competitive NBA for a longer period of time. I don't know what this one does. But guess what? We're here. We're part of it. We're on Tuesday and Friday. We're going to call it like a playoff game on Tuesday and Friday. We ain't messing around.
Are we putting towels on the seats?
No three-pointer. We're going to growl towels, and we're going to have an hour pregame show, and then we're going to get after it.
And we're going to get paid more.
And we're getting paid more. So they get paid more. Why can't we get paid? The game means more on that day. It should be more for us, too.
I think it's going to be great that we are very lucky to have a guy like Pete Pranica who will know what's going on and explain it to us on a nightly basis. Because, I mean, it's something that you got to get used to. You can't just throw this in and act like, oh, yeah, this is awesome, and it's great. I mean, look at the Grizzlies pod. It's like Portland and Phoenix and
the
it's
Lakers.
Like what? So I don't know.
They said it was based on last year's something with last year's record on how they put the teams in the six pods and the five teams within there's five teams within and you play everybody once. And is it the top two from each that moves forward?
I don't know, dude.
And then you play, and then like the second ones are wow. I don't know. Like I said, I just you ever, when they tell us it's time to call a game, we're gonna put the headset on, and we're gonna be the best broadcast in the NBA. Then we're gonna go home.
All right, one other big story: Jimmy Butler reportedly is dating Shakira.
I saw that.
Good
Shakira,
for Jimmy Butler.
Shakira. Wow, stand up, Jimmy.
Her last Super Bowl appearance, she was 50 years old. 50.
Yeah, the thing was, I thought she was a little bit older, and then they showed the picture. I was like, well, maybe she's not that old.
No, 50. But she's like 52 now. Yeah. So good for Jimmy Butler.
I want to see Jimmy put them dancing shoes. I want to see Jimmy get them dancing shoes out there with her. Not them cowboy boots. He can't wear them cowboy boots to go dancing with Shakira.
No.
Legs, feet will be hurting. Legs will be tired.
Where's Dame going to end up, by the way?
I listened to their GM, Portland, say that he wishes that there were more places that he would want to go to make this. Because on their end, they want to help him and give him the best, send him to a situation that's best for him, and so that he could be happy, finish his career he would like to. But they also have an obligation to their team and their fans to still be able to be good. And so I don't know. It's going to come down to how much Miami even has to give them. I don't even know who Miami has to give them. Like, outside of, you're going to give up, like, a – you got to give Tyler Hero.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing in this scenario. And so, for Miami, they would just be banking on, we're going to continue to stay with these vet guys and see, can we win in this fashion?
Yeah. That'll be interesting to see. What have you been watching, man? You've been relaxing, golfing. You watching anything good?
Yeah. No, I have not. We're on the Bear season 2 is out.
Okay.
So, we're watching the Bear. And I'm the worst. I fall asleep too much. But we do puzzles. My daughter and I, we just finished a puzzle this morning. And so we'll start. And now these puzzles, let me tell you this about the puzzle game. It is really stepped up. So you now do a puzzle, and the pieces, like, you're doing the puzzle, but it gets to a point where they're not intersecting anymore. It's like they're flat edges within the puzzle. You know, usually your straight edges are all around.
Yeah.
They're straight. And so when you get done with that one, there's a secret, like another part of the puzzle to put together after you're done. And so you move out. It tells you which section to move out. And then you dump out the new ones. You build in that section, whatever those mystery pieces were. And then you slide the one you slid out. It tells you how to slide all back together. And you got another picture. So literally, the puzzle is two puzzles in one. I mean, I started doing that. I was telling my daughter, I was like, Brenda, how do you have straight edges within the, like, how's it going to stay together? She's like, Dad, this is the way the puzzles are now. Something that's with ghost puzzle or something she calls it. But we have a good time. We didn't bought about four or five of them already.
It's like an in-season tournament for puzzles.
How about you? What you watching? What you got going on?
Well, I'm ready to watch the latest Jack Ryan, that latest season.
Oh, is it out?
That's out.
I'm on that.
Got to catch up on Ted. I haven't watched this latest season of Ted Lasso yet, so I'm going to do that.
You watch that.
I'm going out of town this week, so I'm going to catch up on a couple of those, so that'll be good. And, yeah, just heading to Nashville, man.
I'll be coming back. Oh, yeah, and I'll be coming back to town. So I'll be there. I'll probably just be hanging out, playing golf and doing nothing. So I'll probably watch a bunch of shows. And I'm coming over to check out all of what has happened in the backyard, because I know that you got some exciting things going on in that backyard. It's when Hatchet Man and Dipty get together, that means work.
The backyard patio is fantastic. We now have the entrance from the gate to the patio is now concreted, beautiful, level stairway kind of coming in. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So yeah, you'll have to come see it. We've been working hard.
So you took out my rocks.
Took out the rocks. Yeah.
But you're gonna keep my rock creek though. I'm hoping.
Oh yeah, we still got a rock creek. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
But it looks good, man. It looks good. The patio's looking good, and yeah, man, I'm going to Nashville for a week. Then I go on vacation for a week. So I'm excited.
Nashville, what you got in Nashville?
SEC Media Football Media Days. I'll be there for 5 days for Grind City Media. And then I'm going to Orange Beach for a week for vacation. So, yeah, looking forward.
Are you flying?
Flying? No, I don't fly. I only fly charter, man. You had an experience.
I'm about to take up that same mentality. Only fly charter, also.
Yeah. What was your issue?
My issue. This is my thing. Is delays are a part of flying at this point. You know, inevitably you may get delayed. No need in getting your panties in a bunch about it. The thing is, the problem was, it was the way that it was handled. The customer service side of it was awful. Like, to sit on a plane for 3 hours when you turn the air on periodically, people sweating and no water, sitting on the tarmac, and then you get upset because other people get upset. I mean, it was like there was the communication from the pilot to the flight attendants on what was happening. Eventually, the flight attendant was like, either we're going to take off or get us off the plane. I'm like, I'm with you, sister. One or the other. So, yeah, like I said, it wasn't the delay side. Listen, man, that happened. But it's just it's a better way to deal with those situations. And we didn't have people that dealt with it well at all.
I only liked a vacation where I can drive. That's it.
It would have been hard for me to drive to Vegas.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, but I'll charter wherever. It don't matter. That's good. That's good for me.
Well, know what I'm about to start doing? What? I'm about to start chartering Petey. You're going to start putting Petey to work, man. Went out there and got the aviator license. He hides the plane over in the hangar.
Yeah.
It's about time for us to put Petey to work, give him about $25, $30, fly us around.
We can do that, yeah.
We'll pay your accommodations.
Yeah, I think we can. PD Airlines, that'll be great. That's the way we can start flying.
I'm all for it.
Perfect. All right. Well, BK, great seeing you, man.
Hey, man, it's good to see you. When I get back, what's today? I'll be back in 10 days. I'll be back about 10 days. When I get back, hopefully 10 days.
Yeah.
We'll get together.
Yeah, we'll get together. We'll do this again real soon. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Night Court. Thank you very much for joining us. You can catch us on Twitter and on the threads. I'm at The Fish Nation, at Brevin Knight 22, and at Night Court 22. That's where you can catch the show on Twitter. Thanks for joining us. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and join us again real soon on Night Court. For BK, I'm Fish. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Peace.